Okay, have your Bibles, turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Well, I tell you, I feel kind of like a hypocrite getting up here after hearing something like that. No more of the problems that I've had. Think about some of what my fathers have went through for the same book that I've got tonight. And the same, they went through all of that so you and I could have all of this. And if there's ever been a generation that ought to be dedicated to God, it ought to be us. Really, we think we got a lot of big shots now in our day and time, but when we get to the judgment, the Lord will call up a bunch of people like that nobody's ever heard of. We'll be back there at the back looking with a telescope somewhere, like somebody was talking about the other night, and see them. Right? And this makes me want to go on and be faithful no matter what. No matter what. And if you'll settle that in your mind, as the preacher said, God can use you. And you know, the devil can't do nothing with a man that won't quit. He can't do nothing with you if you won't quit. He just can't handle that. Let me say, I appreciate the services. If I wasn't even preaching down here, it would have been well worth my trip. Come down here and be among you folks and to hear what I've heard. It's been a long time since I've heard a preacher like Brother Bemis. That's made such an impression on me. And I think he's a holy man of God. And I praise God for him and also for Brother McDowell. What a blessing he was to us. And Brother Mitchell. And always to be around Dr. Ruckman. Lord will make you eat your words. When I first started listening to him on tape, I always used to say, if I ever get around that man, I will not open my mouth. I'll just sit and listen. And so you never know what God liable to have you doing. And I still don't know why he let me come down here, but I praise God for it. And you pray for us as we go back home tomorrow morning, the Lord willing. And I just hope that something's been done or said here this week that'll help you, not just for a day or two, but from now on. Amen. That you'll make some decisions. You don't serve God out of inspiration, but you'll serve Him out of obligation. If you just got inspiration, it'll wear off in a day or two. But if you'll make some obligations to God and say, I'm going to do it whether I feel like it or not, then you've got something done in these past few days. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, talking about His body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. For in this we groan. Now why is he groaning? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now the preacher was saying there in that verse, he said, I'm in this body, but I'm groaning, wanting that new body that I'm going to have in heaven. What he was really saying was, I'd like to go to heaven just as soon as possible. He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Believe the Lord took him up over yonder and showed him a little glimpse of it when they knocked his brains out over in the book of Acts. And he got a little glimpse of it and he probably didn't want to come back. And brother, the Lord sent him back and said, stay down there a while, Paul. And ever since then, he just kind of wanted to kind of drift on up. And he said, I want to go, and what I want to preach to you tonight, leave you this thought, hope you've got all the sin out of your life, hope you've got everything fixed up, ready to go. I want to preach tonight on 7 reasons why I want to go to heaven. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the privilege of prayer. Thank You, God, for what we've been allowed to hear and see in these days of fellowship. Thank You for this school. Thank You for this church. We thank You for the church more than the school, but we thank You for the school. And we thank You for Brother Ruckman. Thank You, God, for the blessing He's been to untold thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And oh, dear God, I pray You bless him and just keep him alive till Jesus comes and do the work, God, that You've called him to do.
Dear God, we need Him, and I pray You'd leave Him here for us. Lord, to help for us a little while longer. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd bless this place. God, send the ones here You want here. God, help them, Lord, to be on fire for You. Help them to mean business. Help them to get the sin out. Help them, Lord, to have the glory of God in. And I pray that souls will keep being saved. I pray You'd help them to preach on the street and give out tracts and not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, tonight we pray, Lord, that You'd come and get us soon. But until then, help us, Lord, to be faithful. And we'll praise You and thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. I'm preaching tonight on seven reasons why I want to go to heaven. I know the old saying, and several years ago, somebody coined the phrase, and it sounded pretty good for a while, and a lot of people picked up on it, but I don't really like it. And the phrase was, now don't you read that Bible too much, don't you go to church too much, because I know some people who are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And that was a cute little saying that caught on for a while. And a lot of people got on to it. And preachers would get up and say it. And boy, that would just sound cute. And when I heard that, I thought something in that sounded like an excuse to me. It sounded like somebody's a little bit feeling under a conviction. And they felt guilty. And they coined that little phrase. And brother, I began to get in the Bible and found out that that is not what the Bible says at all. As a matter of fact, I don't know very many Christians that's so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Most Christians I know of are so cotton-picking worldly minded, they're no heavenly good. And so I don't think any of us are too much in danger of getting our mind too much on the Lord. I know tonight, brother, that's what the Bible teaches. Paul said, he said, set your affections on things above. Ain't that what the book said? Now don't give me that junk about not talking about heaven. The Bible said, put your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. The Bible said that we have our conversation is in heaven. Not down here, from whence we also look for the Savior. Now, I want to talk tonight on seven reasons why I want to go. Now, I know that I would be criticized because we're living in a materialistic age where Christians are thinking about down here. You notice those songs in the song books that wrote in the 1700s and 1800s, they're talking about when I shall see my Redeemer, when I go to glory, when the Lord comes, it'll all be worth it. After a while, you don't find gospel songs being written like that nowadays. The gospel songs nowadays kind of sound like a little love affair between somebody and some man or woman, and they don't even mention the Lord or heaven, and they're just saying, I love Him, and He loves me, and He thrills me, and He does me that. Man, it's kind of sickening. But I'm telling you, brother, you know why? Because we've got more than any group has ever had in the world. We're a material thing. We've got cars, we've got houses, and we've got food in our guts, and brother, we're happy, and we got money in the bank. I'm saying here tonight, the Bible said, prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I'm telling you, no matter how much God blesses you, you better keep heaven in mind, because that's where we're going. Let heaven be real to you. I tell you, you may think I'm a little old-fashioned and a country hick, but I tell you something, man, I want heaven to be real to me. I want heaven to stay real to me. You ain't gonna be no count for God if heaven is not real to you. Heaven is a real place. The Bible said, put your faith there and look into that. Now, the Bible said that there's three heavens. I'm not a Mormon. I believe that the Bible. The Bible said there's three heavens. He said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. He was caught up into the third heaven. Now, if there's a third, there's got to be a second and a first. So there's three heavens. You say, Brother Danny, does that mean that people are going to go to different stages of heaven when they die? No, that ain't what it means. That means that in the Bible, there are three separate parts called heaven. Only one of them where God lives, but there's three of them. The first heaven you see by day. That's up here in the clouds where the birds fly. You see it by day. The second heaven you see by night. And that's where the stars and the moon and the planets are. The third heaven you see by faith. And the Bible said there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. You see the first heaven by day, the second heaven by night, and the third heaven, thank God, by faith. The scientists can't see it, but the children of God can see it. Heaven is a real place. I heard an old preacher one time, he said, what's the most greatest thing in the world to you? He said, going to heaven. And they said, oh, you're going to play a harp, huh? And the world's got this attitude that all these dumb cartoons and movies back in the 30s and 40s and 50s has given people the idea that all you do when you're in heaven, it's like you're on drugs and you're like a spirit and you just go up there and you're like a sheep. And you're on a cloud, and you just float by, and you play harp, and you just, like you're spaced out, you know, and you just go by and go, bring, bring, bring. And if you see somebody else floating by on their cloud, you just go, bring, bring. Now the devil has used that to make young people not want to go to heaven. They'll say, man, who in the world would want to go there? What are you going to do all that time? Well, I'm fixing to tell you a little bit about it tonight. One thing for sure, if you don't go, it'll beat what you'll be doing. I want to say tonight, heaven is a place, not a state. I picked up a guy hitchhiking one day, and I started witnessing to him, and I said, you saved? And they said, saved from what? And I said, from hell, man. You're going to heaven or hell? And he said, well, you see, the way I believe, he said, I believe that if you're having it rough and you're having family problems, you're sick and ain't got no job, and all, he said, that's hell. But if everything's, all your bills are paid and you got a family and you're in good health and everything going good for you, then that's heaven. And I said, oh, you believe that heaven and hell are a state of mind, right? And he said, yeah, that's right. And I said, no, the Bible said, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place. Not a state of mind, but a place. The Bible said the rich man died and in hell, a place. He lifted up his eyes after he died. Heaven and hell are two places that you go to before, or you make up your mind where you're going, and you do not go to them until you're dead. And I said, there's a little boy one time, and he's up flying something. He had a string that just going out of sight. And as a man come up to him, he said, hey, man, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying my kite. And he said, well, I looked up there, and he was in a cloud. And he said, well, I don't see no kite. How do you know it's still up there? And he said, well, once in a while, I feel a tug. And he said, I know it's there. And I say tonight, brother, even though we can't see heaven, don't just once in a while, you kind of feel a little tug on the inside of you, and you're saying it's up there somewhere. Thank God it is there, and I'm glad everybody in this room tonight will someday be in heaven or hell. Every young person, every teenager, every boy, every mom, every dad in this room, in 100 years from now, you'll be in heaven or you'll be in hell. One time there's this atheist arguing with this old Christian woman, and he's telling her it was a bunch of baloney, and he didn't believe in heaven and hell. And he said, you don't really believe that Bible? And she said, yes, sir, I do. And he said, now don't tell me that you believe that a whale actually swallowed Jonah. And she said, absolutely, I believe that. And he said, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. She said, he did too. And she said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him about his experience. And the guy said, well, what if he ain't in heaven? And she said, well, then you ask him. I tell you tonight, brother, there is no purgatory. There never has been. There never will be. It's heaven or hell, brother. It's turn or burn, man. It's up or down, in or out, heaven or hell. There's no such place as purgatory. There never has been. There never will be. That's a place that self-righteous people have made up to try to pay for their own sins. But if the Bible said, it's heaven or hell. I'll tell you why I want to go. Okay? Number one, I'll just read them off to you right quick. Number one, my citizenship has been changed. I'm just passing through. You know, before I got saved, I was a citizen of Route 1, Box 417B, Marion, North Carolina. And I told you before, I live in a little road called Hoppy Tom Holler. And this road's a dead-end road, and I live all the way at the end of it. And don't laugh, we're civilized, brother. Hey, listen, I had them kidding me up in Michigan. And they heard where I was from. They said, have y'all got running water? And I said, yeah, you needn't drink ours. Amen. But anyway, that was my That was where I lived. I was a citizen of there. And you know, I like home. I've always been the type of person that likes home. I like to go home. I love it down here. I'd kind of like to stay around here. But you know, I just can't wait till tomorrow to get home. I've always liked to go home. When I drive up on a long trip somewhere, brother, when the last service is over and the last amen said and the doors are shut, you know what I start thinking about? I start thinking about, glory to God, it's time to go home. I think, amen, and I drive and I make it to Knoxville and then I make it to Asheville and I said, we're getting closer. And brother, I get tingling all over when I get pulling into my driveway. I just like to be home. I don't care nothing about traveling all over this world. I'd rather be home than anywhere I know, wouldn't you? I tell you, brother, when I got saved, the Lord put my citizenship up yonder in heaven. And because of that, we're just traveling right now on a journey. We're going home. I want to be home. My citizenship has been changed. I like the old song that said, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I tell you, brother, when I got saved, well, an 18-year-old boy, God done something for me. All of a sudden, I had my affections on the things of this world, and He saved me, and I started doing like this. And my attention was grabbed, and the things of this world began to go strangely dim. You know what? I wish I had every young person in the world under one great big tent. I'd like to tell them something. I'd like to tell them one thing that they can't find out there. They can't find how to be happy. Amen. You know, when I got saved, I was running around with a bunch of boys. I had a little OMG and we're running around with the top down on. My hair was long. Man, I was a part-time hippie. I run up down the road and our favorite pastime was to go down to the store and steal drink bottles and go down the road hitting signs with them. And when it got too dark to play ball, I mean, brother, we had our own Pac-Man back then. It just wasn't electronic. Man, you hang out the side of a car and wham, hit them stop signs. That's fun. And boy, we'd hit everybody's mailbox. And we'd beat up everybody's mailbox. And the last guy's mailbox would really get it because we'd take the crate. And the story like that. And bam, somebody's mailbox would go rolling off down the hill. And boy, man, I'd run around that bunch of boys, and we'd get in trouble. And when I got in trouble over that, and glass bumped back, one hadn't put her eyes out. And brother, we'd go down there and get in all kinds of trouble. And I was living in sin. And I kind of had me a bunch of little boys around me, you know. And I was leading them in sin. And we'd run over here, and I'd go down to my girlfriend's house, which is now my wife. And I'd leave her house and stop up here at this other girl's house. And y'all shut your mouth, don't you tell me, y'all. And brother, I'd tell him, I'd stop up here, and I'd see her and this and that, and one thing happened, another thing happened. But you know something? There's one thing I never did have. Happiness. The world can give you kicks, and the world can give you thrills, and you can get high as a cat, but you can't be happy out yonder in that world. You just can't do it, brother. There's always something missing on the inside. There's always an empty spot there that can't be filled except by the one who put it there. And so, when I was 14, I wanted to be happy. And I said, happiness, happiness, where are you? There you are. I went over here and I'd work, and I'd try to grab it, but somehow or another, about the time I got it, it would go that way. Like a greased pig. And I thought, I've got it! And I'd say, where'd it go? 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 There it is. There's happiness. And I'd read over here, and I'd about get it, and it'd squirt out again. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? And you get your eyes on something else, say, that'll do it. That'll make me happy. Maybe it's a boyfriend, maybe it's a girlfriend, maybe it's a car, maybe it's your license. And you think, if I just had that, I could be happy. Boy, I want to play ball, and I got on the basketball team. And then we won the championship. And I got the trophy. And this and that. And I thought, this ain't as great as I thought it'd be. I seen them other guys go out and get trophies. And I said, boy, if I could go out there and get a trophy, I'd be happy. Amen. When I went out there and got my trophy, I thought, ugh, this ain't so hot. Big deal. They'll forget I knocked my brains out and win a game. They'll forget about me 2 weeks later. Hey, this ain't happiness. And I didn't care who I hurt. I didn't care who I stepped on. I didn't care how I broke my mama's heart, who loved me and was praying for me. I didn't care who I had to step on, just as long as I got to be happy. And I never was. And then one day I came to the end of myself. Listen now, you're going to hear something in the next 3 minutes that you can't get anywhere in the world except in from churches that believe the Bible.
Amen.
You listening? One day I came to the end of myself. And I fell down before God. And I said, God, I'm a mess. I've been trying to be happy and I can't be happy. And God, now I see that I don't even deserve to be happy. God, I don't care if I'm ever happy or not. Fully on happiness. Lord, I just want to serve you. I don't deserve to be happy. I deserve to go to hell. God, please save me. And I said, Lord, I'll serve you. I don't care if I'm happy or not. I've done tried it and it ain't no good. And I started walking with the Lord. And all of a sudden, when I started walking with the Lord, I was going down through there one day, and something slipped up beside me. And I started saying, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Who are you anyway? And he says, I'm happiness. I said, hey man, where you been all these years? I've been hunting you for years. He said this. He said, oh, I just ride along with them that serve Jesus. And I said, happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Now, I tell you what a lot of Christians do. They get old happiness, and they go pretty good for a while, saying, Lord of God, I'm happy. Hallelujah, I'm happy. Praise God, I'm happy. And then they take their eyes off the Lord and say, I love you, happiness. Happiness, I love you. I'm so glad I'm finally happy. And he goes, squirt. And they can't find him no more. They say, wait a minute, what's happened? Where am I? Happiness, where'd you go? And then they go out and get them another job to try to make more money. And they say, happiness, where was you? Or where is you? And they say, happiness, I had you. What happened to you? And then they go in debt and buy them a nicer car. And then they go over here, and the devil says, well, you ain't even saved. Well, you just thought you were saved. You was on a mind trip there. You say, I'm miserable. Where'd happiness go? Where'd happiness go? And then finally, God gets you to the end of your rope. And you've had it. And you come crawling back up to Him. And you say, God, I blew it. Lord, I won't rededicate my life. I've been out here trying to make a lot of money and be happy and get a lot of, Lord, I'm miserable. God, help me. I don't care if I'm ever happy or not. I just won't serve you. And about that time, somebody slips in back in here beside you. Did you know you can never be happy trying to be happy? Ain't that something? You can't do it. I tell you what, if you'll forget about trying to be happy and start serving God, happiness will slip in there beside you. That's the secret, brother. That's the secret of life. My citizenship has been changed. And you know what happened when I got saved? Me and them boys went just like this. Oh, what's his name over here, Terry? Terry Daly. I'm glad you made him say that, preacher. That means pray for Terry Daly. And brother, you know what happened to me and my friends? We went just like this. And they said, come on, Danny, you come on, go with us. And I said, sorry, boys. This is where I go the other way. I'll see you. They said, oh, you're crazy. We can have a good time. Come on, it'll never last. He's got religion. God, do you know what I had to do? I had to make a break. My citizenship has been changed. And I want to go to heaven tonight because I am no longer a citizen of this world. You've got to make that break. You say, oh, I just love my friends. I just don't know what I'd do without them. I believe you'd be fine without them. And I'd like to tell every young person in the world, I have never give up one thing for God that God didn't give me about 10 times something better to replace it with. The Lord ain't trying to rip you off. He ain't trying to take all your fun away. Every time you give up something for God, God will give you something better to replace it with. My citizenship has been changed. Brother, I tell you, I got a mansion up yonder with my name on it reserved for me. I was talking about those people last night who don't believe that they can keep it or have it and won't have it and may not have it and hope they got it and back and forth. You know what they think? They think they've got a mansion reserved for them. But every time they sin, an angel runs down there and takes their name off and hangs up a for rent sign. And there's a big old for rent sign hanging there in glory on their mansion. But then when they get right, the angel takes the for rent sign back down and puts their name back up. And if they happen to die while their name's up, they go. Fright. I'm telling you, I've got a home in glory that'll outshine the sun, and I'm on my way. It's reserved in heaven for me. All right, I want to say secondly tonight, the second reason why I want to go to heaven is that I'm sick of this world. I'm sick of this world. You know, when God got children of Israel out of Egypt, when they got sick of it, and they said, God, I don't want to live here no more. God, get us out of here. I believe the Lord wants us to get to that place where we're sick of this world. There's so many things going on in this world tonight. I tell you, brothers and sisters, it is heartbreaking. It is sickening. It is sickening what's going on in this world tonight. There was a time if a man had a teenage daughter, he couldn't let that little daughter walk down the street after dark. There was a time when that was true. And it still is true. But the time has come now when you can't even let a little 7 or 8, 9-year-old kid out of your sight, or some pervert will pick them up off the street and take them down to Dallas somewhere and make pornography movies out of them and sell all kinds of filth and all kinds of junk. I tell you, it ain't just girls, it's boys, it's a bunch of vultures preying on little children. This world is sick. I'm sick of it. We have people in our church who keep foster children. You wouldn't believe some of the shapes some of them little young'uns come in there in. Brother, I tell you, I heard about one not long ago where a man had took a little baby like 3 years old and give it a burning, scalding, hot enema. And then on the outside burned its body all over with a cigarette. Right in our hometown. A man had a lady in our church, had come to our church, was uptown at a sidewalk sale. She had a little boy about that high. She turned around for a minute, looked at some clothes, turned back around, and he's gone. And they got to looking for him, and the railroad runs under Main Street. Got a big old bridge there about high as this ceiling. And they looked down there, and some pervert done had him down there in the bushes. Just in time, they got him. I tell you, brother, in our hometown, just last week, I was in Florence, South Carolina, when this happened. Preaching a weekend meeting down there last weekend. And brother, while I was down there, I got home, and got on my machine, and one of our people come to our church said, pray for such and such, and such. And the guy who run the Boy Scout camp down below our town was in his early 30s, and they said he just murdered a 14-year-old boy and a 15-year-old boy. And all the little boys from that community would go there and spend the night with that fella. And there'd done been reports of him being homosexual. There'd done been all kinds of rumors for him, but they kept it from the parents. And that guy had took those boys, 14 and 15 years old, shot them all up, all over their bodies, shot them through the head, filled their body full of bullet holes with a 38 and buried them out beside a grease pit down below the house. And the deputies went down there and dug up them two little bodies and took them to the funeral home. And I went to the funeral home this past Tuesday night where they had to send them to Chapel Hill and make an autopsy on them to make sure all that had happened to them. And brother, they took them down there in the funeral home and laid them there, and you couldn't even get in that night. They was passing out in the floor. There was people weeping. Their school kids, buddies, were standing around bawling, hugging each other's neck. And brother, their mom and daddy, or mamas were sitting there crying and couldn't get over it. Their friends were sitting there saying, it's horrible, it's horrible. And brother, that just made me think, I'm so sick of this ungodly world. I'd just like to go on and be with Jesus. They put them in ovens and cooked two babies and up in somewhere up in Tennessee just a few months ago, cooked them like turkeys. I want to say to you tonight, I'm so sick of this wicked, filthy, fleshly, fornicating, dope-dealing, hippie-hopping, beer-guzzling, God-hating, Bible-denying, rock-and-rolling, liquor-loving, money-mad, cursing, swine, blaspheming, truth-hating, underhanded, pornographic, prostituting, queer-loving, Michael Jackson, Boy George, stupor-bowling, sports, politicking, humanistic, hypocritical, wow, I just like to go on to heaven and be with Jesus. We had a skit, like y'all did here a while ago, up in our church at Thanksgiving. And I seen a cartoon that got an idea in my mind. And I said, we're going to do one of them skits. And I told everybody what to do, and we done it on Halloween, on Thanksgiving. And what it was this. We had some pilgrims come out of the side door over here, and they'd just land down there at the beach, down there somewhere. We put it on Carolina Beach. And we put it up there, and the pilgrims came in and landed on the beach. And they got out, and they dressed like pilgrims. And the story was that they took off way back in the 200 years before. In the 1600s, they was coming over here. Or 1700s. And the boat got lost out in the ocean, and they didn't arrive till 1984. So here they come. They've been wandering around out in the ocean until 1984, and here they come. And they come in, have their long dresses on, their pilgrim suit, and they come in and said, whew, 200 years on that boat. I'm so glad that we're at our new home. And there's a big sign here that said Public Beach. And then they come out here, and they have their muzzle loaders and their guns, and they're standing out here, and they're looking around. And about that time, they got down and said, let's thank God for getting us here. And they said, oh, dear Heavenly Father. And about that time, a policeman, which is Brother Ricky here, dressed up in a policeman uniform with a billy stick, come by and said, hey, get up! That's unconstitutional. Don't you know we don't allow praying on this beach? They said, what are you talking about? And one of them got his Bible and stood up over here and said, friends and neighbors, thank God we're here. And he said, hey, get down, get down. You ain't got a permit. Get down from there. We'll haul you to jail. And about that time, we had somebody come out of the other side over here, and one of them had a sign that said, ERA. And one of them punched his dad and said, Dad, what's that? ERA. What is that, Daddy? He said, I don't know, son. And then somebody come out and said, gay rights. And then we had a punk rocker come out. And he had orange hair all over, and he had a box on him. He come out like this, you know, just going across through there. And one of the little boys said, Daddy, a wild turkey, can I shoot him? Boy, that's a blessing. And the other boy and girl had been over here on the beach here a little ways, and they come back and they said, Pa, there's some people laying over there, look like you got Vaseline on them, and they ain't got on enough clothes to make a Jaybird a pair of jogging shorts. And they said, son, close your eyes. And about that time, the door opened over here, and the Holy Father comes out. He's got a cross over here, and he comes out. Peace, my children. Peace, my children. And when he comes out, all the pilgrims go, ah! They said, what's he doing here? That's the reason we come over here. Get away from him. And brother, he looked at him and he said, my children, and you know what they'd done? They said, I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to go back home. And they walked out and got back on their boat and headed back to England, brother, where they come from. And as they went out the door, one of them said, whew, another 200 years on that boat. And I want you to know tonight, you can't do that. If you run over there, it's just as bad as it is here. And if you run out yonder, hey man, we done covered the whole world now. There ain't no new ground to uncover. There ain't no more continents to go start all over again. There ain't but one way out of this mess. And that's up. I'm sick of this world. temptation comes. You know, I have a good time. I enjoy my life. But I tell you, brethren, and I'm just being honest with you tonight, I've been in a constant fight ever since I've been saved. It never lets up. Never! Sometimes it's easier than other times, but it's been a battle ever since I got saved. It's just like something been a beating on me, and the harder I try, the more it beats. Well, it seemed like the devil just hitting you in the head, just doing you like that all the time. And you're trying to think and trying to read the Bible and trying to pray. And he just gets on you, just mashes you down. And but I've got family even, and the kin folks that hate my guts. They don't care about me. I'm not won the most popular man in our town award in many, many, many years. Never be exact. But I'm telling you, brother, you know what that makes me think? That makes me think I'm sick of this world. I'd just soon go on to glory. I want to go to heaven because I'm sick. This world. People look at me sometimes and they say, oh, Brother Castle, you got it made. And I do have it made. I'll tell you something, man. It ain't a bit easier where I am than it is where you are. If you're serving God, you're in a fight. There ain't no easy way out in this world. If you're looking for an easy way out, you ain't going to find it. Brother, you don't think all hell will break loose on you for serving God? You just hang around a while. I've been through some things since I've been saved that honestly, I didn't think I was going to make it through. And I've been in a time where I couldn't feel God. I couldn't feel His presence. And among false brethren, and the devil gnawing away at me, and friends turning their back on you, and stabbing you, and lying about you, and criticizing you. I tell you, brother, hey, you must make up your mind. You're going on through anyway. That'll make heaven more sweet to you, because you're sick and tired of this ungodly world. Heard about old Uncle Bud Robinson. They took him to New York City one time, and they showed him all the big buildings and the pretty sights of New York. They took him up there, and he got home that night, and he prayed. Here's a good prayer. He said, Lord, I thank you for letting me see all the sights of New York today. God, I just want to thank you even more that I didn't see one thing that I wanted. That's the way a Christian ought to be. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Well, let me say thirdly right quickly tonight, I want to go to heaven because I want to go where they praise the Lord. I like to go where they praise the Lord. I like this church. This church reminds me of our church back home. Brother, not many of them that I go to remind me of it. We know why I like to go? Because I like to go where they praise the Lord. I don't like to go to a place where everybody sit there like a knot on a log, and if you said amen, half of them would have a heart attack and fall out in the floor somewhere, and if you hollered boo, about three-fourths of them would fall out of their seats. I like to go where they praise the Lord. I like to go where God is being praised. There's something the matter with a Christian that don't like to see other people praising God. I tell you, brother, you shout all you want to. It don't bother me, man. I believe that's the way it's going to be when we get to heaven. I believe it's the quietest world you're ever going to live in. If you go to heaven, they're going to be screaming and hollering. If you go to hell, they're going to be screaming and hollering. You're going to make up your mind which way you want to get it. They're going to be screaming no matter which way you go. People say, oh, I don't believe in that emotionalism. At our church, we believe in being dignified. No, you believe in being petrified. I kind of got my doubts about this bunch of so-called Christians that can... Boy, some of y'all looking mighty strange. You must be visitors. They think it's a sin to laugh at church. They think it's a sin to raise your hand. They say that's irreverent. Boy, if you could see what was going on in their mind, you'd think some irreverence. I got my doubts about these Christians that can go to a ball game and scream like a Comanche Indian and come to church and sit like a wooden Indian. Then they'll go to the ball game, holler their guts out, and when they come to church, they say, I don't believe in that. And I mean, if you want to holler at the ball game, that's all right with me. I ain't got nothing against it. But I tell you something, brother, we're the ones that's got something to holler and scream about. I want to go where they praise the Lord, don't you? I tell you, brother, I've seen them and go to ball games. And then think how silly that is, really. And little Johnny gets the football. And little Johnny ain't in but in the 10th grade. And little Johnny done made the varsity, bless his heart. And little Johnny's got the ball. And little Johnny's running. And they stand up. They jump up. They throw their popcorn. Johnny! Go, Johnny! Go, Johnny! Go, Johnny! He made it! Johnny made it! Woo! Talk about us being emotional. And all he done, run across a little old line with a football. And I tell you, man, here we are sitting in here tonight. We got a mansion in glory. I tell our names in the book of life. But man, it ain't time to get quiet. It's time to kick the windows out. I'm telling you tonight, brother, it's time we shout it. I like to go where they praise the Lord. You ever seen one of these little TV programs? Man, you catch one of them little things, and a guy pulls out a card. And he says, Susie Q, come on down. And you know what happens when he does that? About three-fourths back, old Susie Q jumps up. And she might have on a Mickey Mouse suit. They know she might have on a football jersey. She just jumps up just like this. And goes, how many of you ever seen them do that? Raise your hand. Nobody says it's emotionalism. Nobody says that's... And she's on national TV, man. And she ain't even won nothing yet. She grabs old what's his name. Kiss him right on the jaw. His jaw's been kissed more than St. Peter's toe over there. I bet it's made out of Bondo. Yeah. I tell you, she gets on her. Hey, listen. And the most she can win is a new car or a trip to Hawaii or something like that. And going hog wild crazy. So don't run your mouth to me when I'm missing the fire. I mean, I ain't going to burn. We're not going to burn, folks. We're not going to burn. I mean, we're going to glory. I like to go where they praise the Lord. I tell you, brother, if there's anybody in the world got a reason to jump up and down, scream, holler, it's God's people whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, whose name's in the book of life, who is redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we're going to heaven because I like to go where they praise the Lord. One time I was talking to this woman, I was witnessing to her. And I said, won't you come to church? And she said, I want to ask you one question. She said, do you yell when you preach? Uh-oh, done lost. We might as well go. And I said, ma'am, I got to be honest with you. I do. She said, can't stand it. Can't stand it. Makes me nervous. So we talked on there a few minutes, and I said, ma'am, you go to ball games? And she said, yep. Then she done thought I'd done called her. And I said, don't they yell and holler and scream at ball games? She said, yeah, but it's different. You better believe it's different, brother. You better believe it's different. I mean, if you're living like a devil, you ain't going to like an atmosphere like this tonight. But I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to get in on it. You ought to get in on it. What you feel here tonight's more real than anything they got at the Daytona 500 or at the pool hall, brother, or the liquor stores or the booze joints or the massage parlors. What we got in here tonight is 10,000 times greater than anything this world has got to offer. Brother, you talk about praising God. Son, you wait till we get to glory. Buddy, I'm going to do gainers down the streets of gold. All the way down through there. Just shout it out, brother. I want to go where they praise the Lord. They was talking about having a Super Bowl the other night when it got so cold and a lot of people laid out of church to watch the Super Bowl. Oh, brother, did they ever get cheated? That night at church, we had the Glory Bowl. We did, brother. I tell you, the Lord come down, and the next service we had the gravy bowl. And then the sopping bowl. I'm telling you, this world ain't got nothing compared with what God's children's got. That Revelation chapter 19, verse 1, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 6. Brother, it said, and I heard a great voice as many waters said, Hallelujah! 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 And it roared and it thundered. That's why I want to go to heaven. A million voice choir. Singing to the top of their lungs. Well, right quickly tonight, let me say number four. I want to go to heaven to see the beauties. You talk about a beautiful, clear river with 2 foot long bass, trout. Come down right in there, man, with take a banana and eat the banana out of it, make you a boat. Out of the paling. Right. Go over there, glory to God, get a big old grape and just jump right in the middle of it. And come floating down through there, paddling down the river of life in your banana boat. Just say, woo, looky yonder. Well, looky over yonder. And seeing them big old flowers, all different kinds of colors. Thank God I want to go to heaven. Nobody will break in and steal what you've got. I mean, you don't have to lock your door. Ain't that a blessing? You'll have a mansion there. I want to see them mansions. Now, if you ain't got the right Bible, you don't get a mansion, you get a room. Wouldn't it be something if the Lord said, all right, you like them new Bibles so good, I'll just give you what they say. Put them in a little room over in the corner somewhere. Lord, mine said, got a mansion. He said, all right, you go over here. This great big one down here on Glory Boulevard belongs to you. Thank God, brother. I want to see the beauties. I tell you, I'm going to have a mansion over there one of these days that'd make the governor's mansion in the state of Florida look like an outside toilet, brother. I'm going to have one of these days that'd make the White House look like a nut house. I'm going to have one of these days that'd make all the beauties of this world just fade out of existence. Heard about a dear old sister in the Lord that's dying one time. And the doctor looked over and he said, Annie, you're dying. And she said, praise the Lord. And he said, Annie, how can you praise the Lord when you're dying? And she said, think of how wonderful it is to go from the poorhouse to the mansion in the skies. You've been reading the reverse vision, brother. You ain't going to get much out of that. This one's got a mansion. Now, I want to go to heaven. I never did like flowers too much. There's this woman lives up in our town, pretty close to where Brother Paul there used to live. Remember her? Got all them flowers out in her yard. She worked herself to death out there, an old woman. She put on a great big old bonnet, go out there and make... And I thought, what in the world does that woman get out of that? Her flowers, man, as big as a half of that side of that congregation over there, just all different colors. I thought, what does she do that for? You know, after I got to love the Lord, I don't know if I got soft or what, but I started liking them things. And I started liking trees and colors. And I started saying, boy, them flowers are beautiful. I know that sounds funny. I used to hate stuff like that. But I started thinking about the beauties of glory and what it'll be. But then let me say right quickly tonight, I'm going to move on. Number five, I believe it's number five. Number five, I want to go to heaven because there'll be no suffering or death there. If you've ever been touched by death or seen a lot of people laying in the funeral home or seen them drop them bodies in them graves like the preacher was talking about his daddy a while ago, it'll make you want to go to heaven because there'll be no suffering or death there. We had a dear old man in our church who got saved just a few years ago. And that old brother got saved. And he loved the Lord. And he'd done real good for a long time. And then he started getting sick. And sicker and sicker and sicker. And about 3 weeks ago, they called me and said, Brother Danny, he's in the hospital over at the VA hospital in Otene. And I said, okay, I'll try to get over there. And they said they done gave him up. He's living off a machine. And I went in there and I looked there and he's laying in there in intensive care, and he's laying there just living off the machine, done turned yellow. And I thought about that dear old soul, and his family would come over there every morning, just waiting on a phone call any minute for him to die. And his body just a-hurting. He'd done gone into a coma. I saw him lay there for day after day after day after day after day. And the family said, the doctor told them, they said, you're going to have to make a decision. Are we going to leave him hooked up to this machine? Or are we going to unplug it and just let him die? Or just put him in the hands of God? And they said, that's my daddy. I don't want to have to make that decision. If I said pull the plug, it would feel like we were guilty in his death. But if we leave him plugged up, it seemed like we're just prolonging his suffering. And all the agony and the heartbreak and the burdens that that family had. Brother, you don't have no idea what that's like until you go through something like that. And brother, it went on for days and days and days and days. And then finally they called me down in Florence last weekend. And they called me about 12 o'clock in the day. And the sister said, Daddy went home this morning about 4 o'clock. I said, okay, when's the funeral going to be? She said, I was going to come home on Saturday night, preach Sunday morning. And I come home that day, and they said the funeral will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock. And we was going to have the funeral on Monday morning at 11 o'clock. And all day that family hurt. I went over there, and we went up to the funeral home that night after church. And there they were sitting and just staring at their daddy laying there up in the front of that funeral home. The next morning we got up, and about 7 o'clock it started snowing. And brother, that just made it seem that much more pitiful. And it was just cold, old, dreary, gray day outside. Them flakes started getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And by the time we left to go to the funeral that morning, the ground was done white and the roads were getting slick. Allie and I, they said, my wife and them, or somebody said, reckon they're going to have it? I said, yeah, I reckon they'll have it. I don't know if we'll go to the burial, but they'll surely have the ceremony or the memorial service, and then they'll take him on out there and bury him later, maybe, if it's too bad. I sat in there that day, and brother, I began to think about this. I sat down there beside the other preacher. I sat down there that day, there laid the body. Over here, they started playing something on the piano. They started doing that, brother, those people's hearts broke. I looked outside and seen them great big old snowflakes just a-floating down like that. Oh, what a sad time. Oh, what a dreary time. I couldn't stand the thoughts of it. Putting my daddy down in that old cold hole with snow falling on top of the ground. Everybody had white hair. By the time he got in there, just all in her hair. And the roads was getting slick. I got in my car behind the hearse there and turned the headlights on. We drove down there and had that man's burial. It was a pitiful sight to walk, see that family walking up through there like that. Brother, with man holding wives and them are crying and bawling on an old, cold, snowy day. Well, I began to think about this. I said, thank God, thank God, thank God. One of these days when we get to heaven, there ain't going to be no machines that people are going to be plugged up to. There ain't going to be them laying there with their bodies racked with pain and suffering and bleeding and dying. They ain't going to be dropping them down in an old cold hole in the ground. There'll be no suffering. There'll be no death there. It'll be just glory and one long, endless day. No crime, no murder, no insane asylum, no tears. Pain is gone forever. Boy, in our church just had an operation yesterday. Day before yesterday, I believe. He's out cutting wood. When he's cutting down this tree, he cuts wood for a living. And there's an old pine tree had some rotten limbs on it. And when he's cutting this tree down, you know how them pine trees will rot off the limb and they'll just have little sharp sticks sticking out all over them about that long? That big limb fell out of the top of that tree. And he heard it crack. And he looked up, and just about the time he looked up, that thing stuck right in his eyeball. One of them great long jaggers out of one of that big log, that big around, I guess, stuck all the way in his eye, man, to his brain. And he said he stood up and he pulled that stick out of his eye that long. And then he fell to his knees and the blood come running out. And they took him to the hospital and the doctor pulled out another nut long. And he got an arrow in his brain. They thought he was going to die there for a little while. And then they went on, put him in this and that and done this and that. Put bandage all over him, fixed him all up. They had to have plastic put in there Friday while I was down here in Asheville in the hospital over there. Brother, he's going through some terrible suffering. But you think about this. There ain't going to be no pain. Heaven. None. Not a headache. Not a toothache. Not a backache. There's probably some old saints of God here tonight. You don't even remember the last day you felt good. Physically. Bless your heart. You just hang in there, honey. You're going to a place where you ain't never going to hurt. You're going to feel perfect all the time. I want to go to heaven because there'll be no suffering or death. And then sixthly tonight, let me say quickly, I want to go to heaven to see all the saints. We're going to get to see them, you know. We're going to get to see the saints. What if they said that Burt Reynolds was going to be at the Eastgate Mall? Ain't that one Eastgate? Eastgate Mall tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. And they put it all over TV in Pensacola and on the radio and in the newspapers. Burt Reynolds will be at the Eastgate Mall tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. And Bo Derek's going to be there. And Brooke's going to be there. And Michael Jackson's going to be there. Son, there would be literally thousands and thousands of people show up. Why, they'd break their fool necks trying to get there. They'd run each other off the road. They'd push. They'd trample each other. I know you people wouldn't bother to waste your time with it unless you was going there to give out tracts. But I tell you something, man. They think that's hot stuff. What if they got on TV and radio and said that Abraham was going to be at Eastgate Mall tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock? Abraham! The Abraham! Now they said, now folks, here he is from glory. Abraham is going to be at the Eastgate Mall tomorrow at 5. Son, you talk about a mock. Every Jew in the country be there. And brother, I don't know about you, but if I was still here, I'd be there. I'd drive downtown and see Abraham, wouldn't you? I mean, what if they had Abraham, the patriarch, Abraham, sitting on a big old stool down there, and he was signing Bibles, brother, in Hebrew. And brother, sitting down there, and he said, there's Abraham. Them little pity performers nowadays think they're big stuff. Why, Abraham, shoot them out of the saddle, brother. Abraham more famous than that bunch of nuts. And what if they said Moses was going to be there? The Moses, not Charlton Heston. Moses, brother. The real one. Why, they'd come from far and near to see Moses. What if they said Peter was going to be down there? Oh, my soul, I want to go to heaven to see all the saints, don't you? You say, what are we going to do? Man, are you kidding? Can you imagine walking down the streets of gold and here a bunch of us gets together and we're up there and we're saying, boy, I remember when you preaching on that down there, Brother Danny. It ain't half as good as what you said as what it really is being here. And I say, well, who's that over there? All them people's crowding around. And somebody said, that's Moses. I'd say, glory to God, there's Moses. Moses is here. I'd want to go over there and talk to him a little while, wouldn't you? I'd want to see Peter. I'd like to see James and the apostles and St. Paul and Matthew and Bartholomew and Andrew and Isaiah and Hosea and Obadiah and Daniel and Solomon and David and the books of the Kings, brother. I'd like to see all them saints of God. I'd like to see them people they was talking about up here a while ago. I'd like to see D.L. Moody. I'd like to see Charles Spurgeon. I'd like to see Whitfield and Finney and Martin Luther and John Wesley and J. Frank Norris. I'd like to see all of them. I'd like to see them. You know something? I'd like to see the man that preached the revival meeting that I got saved in. Old Brother Joe Parson. He got up that night. Old Brother Joe's a legend up in that part of the country. He got up that night and before he even got up, prayed 2 hours a day every morning when he first got up. Brother God moved through that little community. 150 people got saved 2 weeks, made professional faith. I got saved that night. I laid down in the front of the church and just bawled like a baby for about 45 minutes. And I got up and sat down on the front seat. And old Brother Joe got up, big old guy. And he looked right down at me. There's probably 200 people in there. And he looked right down at me and said, did you get everything settled, young man? I said, yes, sir. And that night, Brother Joe, the revival was over about a week and a half later. I started preaching. And I never did get to see Brother Joe but one more time. He was in a camp meeting. And they just had him. He could barely walk. And he come up there and had a little prayer or something. Went back and sat back down. I won't go to heaven tonight. Because I'd like to go up there and hug Brother Joe's neck. Say, Brother Joe, thank you for getting up every morning and praying for 2 hours. Thank you for bringing God to town. Thank you for praying the fire down Joe and I got in. I'd like to hug his neck and thank him for being faithful to God. I heard about these two old warriors that had been in the army together. One was from the north and the other was from the south. And he said that he was wounded. I think the one from the south was wounded. And he was laying down there. See, I said that so you won't think I'm prejudiced. And the one from the south was wounded. And he's laying there and they're about to die. And all the people around him were screaming, water, 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 water. And brother, all of a sudden, he said he felt a canteen up against his lips and an arm go under his back and drug him out of the battle where people were dying all around him. And he said it was an unknown soldier from the north. And he said that soldier from the north drug him out of there and saved his life. And he said, friend, if I never see you again here, I hope to see you up on high. And he was a preacher, and years later, telling that story in a church. And he told that story in the church that night. And he said, an old white-haired man got up in the back and come down the aisle of bawling. And he said, I'm that man that hauled you out of there that night. And I'm the man that put the canteen up to your lips. And he said, for about 15 minutes, them two old men hugged each other and embraced and cried. And because of their memories of the war back under that they went through, I said, thank God, that's just a little taste of the reunion we're going to have one of these days. When we get up there, brother, and we see somebody that helped us out along the way. When I see old Brother Bemis come walking down the streets of glory. When I see Dr. Rutman coming in, I'll say, hey, boy. Boys, hallelujah, I'm here. I see you're here too, glory to God. In spite of what a lot of people said, he made it. And brother, I tell you, thank God you're going to be there. And brother, we'll see all the saints. And thank God they'll be down there waiting on us at the river when we cross over Jordan. Our friends will be down at the river when death shall call us away to enter the glories of heaven. Oh, what a wonderful day. I like that song. It says, I'll meet you in the morning with a how do you do. And we'll sit down by the river and with rapture old acquaintance renew. You'll know me in the morning by the smile that I wear. I'll meet you in the morning in the city that is built four square. We'll see all the saints. Lastly tonight, seventh reason I won't go to heaven. You just done guessed it, smart Alex. Lord of God, hallelujah. Amen. 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 You know why next reason I won't go to heaven? Well, just take a wild guess, brother. I mean, you got three guesses and the first two don't count. Thank God I want to go to heaven to see Jesus. Amen! Woo! I want to see Jesus. You know, we sing a song that says, oh, I want to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever of His saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice, cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. I can really sing, but I'm hollering it right now so you can hear. I tell you tonight, brother, I want to go to heaven. There's one song Jimmy Swaggart sings that I love. I ain't crazy about the way he sings it, but I love it, brother. And he's ruined me. He says, just think about the beauties in that home beyond the sky. But anyway, the words go, think about the mansions we shall view by and by. Many things will there be missing. That home beyond the sky. But Jesus will outshine them all. Mansions will glisten on the hills of glory. Happy reunion on streets of pure gold. Angel choir singing glad praises forever. But Jesus will outshine them all. Hey man, you think it's something to see old, Richard Perry? You think it's something to see old somebody hit a baseball? You think it's something to see Dolly and Bert and all that bunch of hypocrites? I tell you something, brother. You wait till you see the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, brother. Here's a man that died and went back to heaven 1900 and something years ago. He's still the most popular figure in human history. His life, he's still the greatest. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright morning star. You wait till we see him. Heard about this little boy. He used to go down to the store and he'd look. And he'd look at toys and he'd say, boy, I'd love to have them toys. And he got real sick and got hurt and got put in the hospital. And the nurse went down there and bought him some toys and took them to him in his room. And he put his hands on them. He said, now I can see them with no glass between. He'd been looking at them little toys through that glass for so long. I tell you, the Bible said now we see through a glass darkly. But then, face to face. Oh, my soul, man. Can you imagine? Can you listen, folks? Can you imagine? Really now, really, really now. I'm not. You think, well, he's just preaching. Really? Believe me. Walking down the street and say, what is that light up there? And somebody said, that's him. There he is. There's the one we've been singing about. There's the one we've been preaching about. As the one we've been hallelujah and praising God for, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, there he is. Fanny Crosby wrote, oh, the dear ones in glory, how they beckoned me to come. And our parting at the river, I recall. Through the sweet vales of Eden, they will sing my welcome home. But I long to see my Savior, first of all. Well, I close this illustration tonight. I think. Lord willing. When I say I'll close, sometimes they say promises, promises. But you know what? I heard a story years ago about how this little girl, she was born blind, couldn't see her hand in front of her. Blind's a bat. Years went by and she got up to be about 8 or 9 years old. She said to her mama, they done everything they could for her, no doctor could help her, and they come find out some doctor over in England could perform some kind of special surgery. And they said to that special surgery that in certain cases he could go back in there behind the eyeball and mess around and tie some things together and do some things and sometime give them their sight back. And so they wrote that doctor over in England and said, now doctor, we can't pay you. My little girl's born blind. If there's any way possible, please, could you please find it in your heart to come and see what you can do for her. And the doctor wrote them back and he said, I can't guarantee it, but I'll come. Oh, how happy they was. They got over there, brother, and they got that doctor over there. He got that little girl in there and put her out on the operating table and she's blind. She said, now, Mommy, will I be able to see after this? She said, now, honey, we don't know. Just be good and do what the doctor tells you and we'll just pray and hope for the best. And she said, yes, Mommy, I'll do my best. He laid her down in there and he performed that very delicate operation, that surgery. He put her down there and he operated on that poor little girl's eyes. He went in there and the mama said, well, was it a success 2 or 3 hours later? He said, now, ma'am, you're rushing it. He said, we won't know if it's a success for a pretty good while. He said, if it was successful, she can't see the light right quick. He said, I got 32 bandages put on her eyes, piled up on top of each other. He said, now, ma'am, what you do is you take off one of those 32 bandages every day, one a day for 32 days. And on the last day, call me. You take off that last bandage and we'll see if she can see or not. So that mother took that little girl home and every day she'd move off one of those bandages. Every day she'd move off another one. It got down to 20s and the teens, the 9, 8, 7, 6, and finally the last day come that she'd took off the last bandage. That mother said, now honey, today's it. She said, we're going to walk out in the yard here and see if you can see. She took her out in the backyard and it was a beautiful sunshiny day. The grass just blowing back and forth, pretty trees and flowers, spring day. Her mother wanted the first thing she ever seen to be something beautiful. And brother, she took her out there that day and held that little old girl and said, now honey, here goes. And she pulled that last bandage off that little girl's eyes. And when she pulled that last bandage off, she kind of squinched a little bit and rubbed her eyes and squinched a little bit and opened them. And she said, Mama, I can see. And her mama said, really, honey? She said, Mama, is this heaven? And her mama said, no, honey, this ain't heaven. She said, this is our backyard. And there's the trees, the flowers. And I'm your mama. Isn't it pretty? And she kind of had a worried look on her face. And that mama said, now, honey, what's the matter? And she said, Mama, it's all beautiful. It's beautiful. I love the flowers. I love the trees. I love you. But she said, Mama, show me the man that opened my eyes. And her mama got the old doctor and said, there he is. Thank God one of these days I'll breathe my last breath. I'll preach my last sermon. I'll lay down the old book. I'll give up the ghost. I'll walk down the streets of glory. I'll say it's all pretty. It's all beautiful. But show me the man that opened my eyes. Show me the man that saved me as an 18-year-old boy at Nebo Baptist Church. Show me the man. I long to see my Savior. First of all, seeing Jesus. Man, can you imagine seeing Jesus? The preacher's going to give an invitation tonight. If you don't know that you're ready to go to heaven right now, I mean, if you died right now, if you don't know you're going to heaven, I'm going to tell you what you've got to do. It's very important. Here's the way you've got to trust Jesus. He's a lot more important than you think He is. Amen. Suppose I fell off of a big old cliff. And I dropped off this big old cliff. And on my way down, I was reaching and grabbing, and I grabbed hold of a vine. And I was hanging there on that vine, it was about to break, and jagged rocks about 10,000 feet below me, and I couldn't climb back up. And I was just hanging there, helpless. Couldn't save myself. And I said, oh God, help me! And about that time, a great big old angel come floating down out of the sky. He got big old muscles, a smile on his face, and he just stops right out there in midair, grinning at me. And I say, save me, save me! And he says, well, I will if you'll trust me. And I say, I'll trust you, save me, save me! He says, all right. Let me ask you three questions. Number one, do you believe that I can save you? Do you believe I can? And I looked in big old strong arms, hair as floating in midair. I said, yep, I believe you can. He said, question number two. Do you believe that I will save you? I said, well, he come when I called him. He's grinning at me. He must like me. Yes, I believe you will save me. He says, number three. Let go of that vine. Now he's finding out whether I really believe him or not. You know what most people do? They'd say, I tell you what, you grab me and then I'll let go. Ain't that right? Ain't that what most people do? They say, Lord, you save me and then I'll let go. And they're all trying to save themselves and hold on to the world. And they're saying, Lord, I'll put my foot over there. But if you'll grab me, I'll let go. You ain't going to get saved like that. See, you got to just let go and say, I'm a goner. I'll bust my brains out if you don't get me. And as soon as you let go, he grabs you. You have to turn loose of every effort to save yourself and jump in the arms of Jesus. Just come up here and throw yourself down. Say, God, I can't do nothing. I ain't nothing. Never will be nothing. If you don't save me, I'm going to hell. I'm throwing myself on your mercy. And he'll save you tonight in this service. You, listen, you can have a different life if you'll come down here and get saved tonight. Don't be ashamed. You ain't going to upset this crowd. You come right down here, get down on your knees, and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our musicians are coming. The preacher's coming to lead us in a song. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians pray. No one looking around. No talking. I'm going to ask you one question tonight while these instruments begin to play. Every person in this room, if you died right now, you know you'd go to heaven. I want you to slip up your hand and take it right back down. All right? You can put them back down. I saw hands here tonight that couldn't go up. While they play softly tonight, if you don't know you're going to heaven, why don't you just slip on out of your seat? Come down here and get saved tonight. God brought you here to this church tonight for a reason. Young lady, young man, teenager, boy, girl, back yonder in the back. God brought you here for a reason. We're not here just to have a good time. We are having a good time, but that's not why we're here. God loves you, and He won't save you tonight. Won't you come?
Dear God, do a work in this church. Do a miracle, Lord. Do the greatest miracle that can be done this side of glory, and that's the saving of an eternal soul. God, do it, I pray. Take away their excuses, Lord. Help them not to be ashamed. Help them not to worry about living it. Just let go of the vine. And trust you and go to heaven with the rest of us. Heaven will be sweeter if they'll go with us. God, help them to realize this world is all going to burn up, going to pass away. God, help them to receive you tonight. God, please, move in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.